We're on to Group C and D as we wrap up the first weekend of Euro 2020. I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is Football Only Better. England entered the fray at 2 on Sunday at Wembley as they play their opening game against Croatia, the team that knocked them out of the World Cup, of course, back in 2018. The Bonnie to my Clyde, Mark O'Hare, is here once again. Mark, England 1.72 favourites for this one on the exchange, but it's fair to say there are some question marks over both teams, aren't there?
Yeah, there is. Gareth Southgate's not been able to field his preferred 11 or his expected 11 in any of the warm-up games. That's mainly due to the players being away with the Champions League to the end of the season. So there's been very little rest period. That's obviously a doubt when you come into a major tournament. Teams that haven't been an opportunity to sort of rest and refresh straight into the international scene. But the price is interesting because England are around sort of 1.8 or just below it when they play Croatia at Wembley, a full Wembley in the Nations League in November 2018. But you look at the team that played that day, Eric Dier, Fabian Delph and Ross Barkley made up the midfield three. So there's been an undoubted upgrade in the England team. And I do think Croatia have regressed since the last World Cup. Obviously, a couple of key personnel have retired in Mandzukic and Rakitic. But defensively, they've been a bit of a shambles, in fairness, for 3 years. And I know Zlatko Dijic has experimented quite a lot, particularly in the Nations League, which kind of skews those figures a fair bit. But yeah, I do worry about that defence. And they've got all the quality you could want in that midfield. A midfield to play in a five-a-side team if you wanted. But there's no standout striker without Mandzukic there. So yeah, a couple of doubts over both teams. I still think England are fair favourites and probably do deserve to be slightly shorter than 1.8. I'm not sure I'd be backing them at 1.73 right now. But yeah, I mean, I find this one quite difficult to actually analyse, in fairness, because I do see the two teams going in different directions, but there's a couple of those lingering doubts around England.
Part philosopher, part historian, part mathematician. There's a reason why this man is always such a popular part of the show. Trader extraordinaire Jason Murphy is with us. Jason, there's always going to be a lot of money for England, but is it misplaced in terms of the winner market? Are they genuinely, in your view, a favourite to win this?
Win the match or win the outright?
To win the outright, to win the whole tournament.
Yeah. So they've been neck and neck with France for the last 12 months and actually went favourites, outright favourites, when the additional game at Wembley was announced around March when Dublin couldn't host it. But I think the market has had a word with itself in recent weeks and has rightly put France at the top of the market. France have the best 11, the best squad, best manager, and it's only a lack of home comforts that mean France aren't shorter in the market. England are only the price they are purely because of that Wembley factor. We've done a lot of work around home advantage looking into it. There's about 600 competitive games since the World Cup in 2018. There's an even split of those international games with fans and without. And kind of looking at the home advantage difference in it, it's really, really interesting. And we think home advantage is worth a lot to England, especially later in the tournament, where travel might start to gather with people. And potentially if lockdown goes well, there's a bigger crowd probably at Wembley than what was thought a couple of weeks ago. So it's only the home advantage driving it for England there. In terms of quality of the 11 to put out in a neutral venue, I wouldn't have them in the top four in this tournament.
And Mark has already cast out over Croatia, and I agree with him, certainly in terms of the defensive part of it and the lack of a top-class number nine, maybe. Are they concerns you share? How do you see this England-Croatia game?
Yeah, I think, first of all, as Mark alluded to, the three in midfield are just world-class, as good as you're going to get in any 11. I'm not overly concerned about the front. I think there's options there in Perisic, Rabic, Orsic, Vlahovic. It's almost, it's a linguistic nightmare trying to rattle them off. But Budimir as well is probably the easiest to say. And Budimir's actually got double figures in La Liga in the last two seasons. So I think in terms of this tournament, they haven't got travel that far, obviously, heading up to Scotland and to play their games and stuff. But being able to rotate that, you know, the last half hour of games now, particularly if there's a bit of heat after the long COVID, the fact that they can freshen up that front six without having to stand out Mandzukic as such, Rakitic a lot since the World Cup, I think gives me a bit more confidence, a bit more hope about Croatia's chances. But in terms of the match price that England are for this game, that 173, I'm hoping that the weight of money comes for England like it normally does, and then I'll look to lay come Sunday. So I'll be looking to lay England. The other thing that you should consider thinking about your trading hat is, like, if this is 0-0 with 10 minutes to go, neither of these teams are going to want to watch it, or lose it, I should say. Gareth Southgate, very conservative in how he sets up, and that might suit them early in the match against Croatia. Let Croatia have the ball, and when we get it, I say we, I'm actually Irish, but when England get it, they'll break and have an opportunity that way. But with 10 minutes to go, if Croatia aren't coming out, England aren't going to come out, and both sides will settle for the draw. So all of that, the weight of money, the mindset, the quality that will be on this pitch, I think laying England, if they go any shorter than 173, is what be the best angle, I think, for this game.
And Mark, if you were thinking about a bet builder for this, I guess it's tricky, isn't it? Obviously, you think England are fair favourites and might not be many goals. Which way would you go if you had to think of a bet builder for this?
I'd be dipping into the cards market because I look at that Croatian defence, and depending on what team England can pick, there is plenty of pace, plenty of skill in that front line, or potential front line from across, from the bench and from the starting positions. And it looks like Lovren's going to be missing for Croatia in central defence. So you're looking at potentially Vida and Chileta Sar as the centre-halves. And both of those are regulars in the referee's notebook, particularly on the international scene as well as club level. Vida has been carded in 5 of his last 9 competitive starts. He's pretty cumbersome these days. He likes a battle as well. So
these
he's
days.
Quite rash in his, when he gets drawn.
I like the idea that he was some lithe whippet earlier in his career.
That is true. And if he's drawn out of position, he's the kind of guy who's more than happy. He's cynical. He's happy to bring someone down and take a card. So that would be a concern. And then also his partner, Chileta Sar, booked in 4 of his last 8 competitive starts for Croatia. A regular in the card with cards for Marseille this season too. 10 in 38 starts in Ligue 1 as well. So both of those two love a battle. Can be drawn out of position quite comfortably as well against pace and skill. And I think that's where England's excel at if Southgate allows those players to flourish.
Now, our fantastic multiples offer will be running every day throughout the Euros. Bet £20 on multiples or bet builders and receive a £5 free bet to use on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. Group C kicks off at 5 o'clock on Sunday as Austria take on North Macedonia. The Austrians are 1.73, North Macedonia 6.2. Jason, this is really interesting to me because North Macedonia beat Germany in the World Cup qualifiers in March. It wasn't really a smash and grab. It was a genuine win with some excellent performances in there. And they won't fear the Austrians, will they?
No, absolutely not. Just that Germany game. Are you going to mention the Werner chance, or do I have to bring it up?
Well, you know the propaganda on this show.
It's an absolute sitter. If he scores that, Macedonia don't win that game. But great result for them. That's absolutely. And yeah, absolutely. The shouldn't fear Austria. They're the lowest ranked team ever coming into a European tournament. But, you know, why not give it a go? Why can't they not do something similar to what Iceland did? They're 18.0 to reach the quarterfinals. Austria, to me, just look a bit flat. Reading about people who know this Austrian team better than I do, talking to people that know it better than I do, Franco Foda just isn't getting the best out of that squad. David Alba, like, he's won Champions League playing in the back line. He's one of the best defenders in the world. He's going to Real Madrid potentially because of that. Why isn't he playing in the back line? It's you know, play your best players in the best position, you know, often solves a lot of problems. So Macedonia absolutely well primed to cause an upset here. If you're looking for a bet, I don't think there's anything in the match prices. At the start of June, Austria were like maybe 159. They've drifted to 174. So any value that might have been there in opposing Austria, which is what I'd like to do, is probably potentially gone. So the best insight I'd give you is Alioski to score a penalty anytime, or just the first goal scorer market as well. He's probably about 14 or 16 to 1 out there in the first goal scorer market. Can back him each way. He took the penalty in the warm-up game against Kazakhstan with other potential penalty takers on the pitch. And the great bit of insight or bit nugget of information for this tournament, with the introduction of VAR, prior to VAR coming in, normally in football, in the domestic leagues, you'd see for every 100 goals, you might say 8 or 9 of them were from penalties. When VAR came in across the top 5 European leagues, for every 100 goals, we've seen that increase to about 10 or 11 being penalties. I think given the factor of the international tournament that this is, it might be ref something similar to the Champions League. I think you could see you know, 14-15% of goals scored in this tournament being from the penalty spot. So look at your penalty takers, and Alioski for this match then, for that reason, I think is worth a look in the first goal scorer market.
Mark, Jason's absolutely right about Austria. There's lots of talk about Franco Foda didn't pick the right squad. He ignored a lot of players who've been playing very well domestically in Austria. It's too focused on the German Bundesliga. They worry that he's too defensive. Again, Jason, absolutely right about David Alaba. It's an absolute waste seeing him playing in wide midfield roles or just in midfield in general when he's excelled as a centre-back for Bayern Munich. So you look at that Austrian price and there's not much to excite you there, is there really?
No, not really. I mean, player for player, there is no match here. Austria should be winning the game. But so much to international football comes down to the coach. And at the moment, there's a real mood of pessimism around Austrian football. They've said the football's bleak. The squad selection is ugly and wrong. And yeah, there's been a bias towards the Bundesliga, but and just an overcautious nature about their approach. And they're going to have to play some football in this game because they are the favourites, and they'll have to know that getting 3 points against North Macedonia is surely key to qualifying from that group. So I am expecting something a bit different from Austria than probably what they've served up. They did beat Macedonia home and away in Euros qualifying reasonably comfortably, it has to be said too, but they did concede in both of those games as well. And I think this is such a momentous occasion from North Macedonia. Sometimes we don't probably understand we can't quantify the significance of such occasions, the motivation, the belief, the bravery that these kind of teams come and show. You know, just rewind to Albania in 2016, who kind of came as nobody, no hopers really, and they put on a real decent show, were very competitive. And I think North Macedonia, whilst being from a similar sort of region, but similar sort of setup as well, they're quite defensively minded with plenty of key players in forward areas who can cause problems. Elmas, Bardi, Pandev, Alioski as well. So I think they are capable of hurting Austria. So I looked at the price of them to score, which was around 1.8, and I thought that was absolutely fair enough. The Germany result is the one that gets referenced a lot, but they scored twice that day. They scored twice against Romania in March's qualifiers. You'd probably say Romania aren't too far off Austria's level. So they have got a decent track record of getting amongst the goals. As I said, scored home and away against Austria not so long ago. So I think they can do it again. But also I'd look towards the cards markets again, because North Macedonia are comfortably the dirtiest team in the competition in terms of qualifying. No other side received 30 yellow cards or more. North Macedonia received 35. In the Nations League, they hit 30 booking points or more include the Nations League, and in 14 of the last 21 competitive games, they've had 30 or more booking points as well. So North Macedonia in the card match bet would also appeal. Probably get a slight odds on that shot, but you know, they're going to be up for this game, so I'm expecting it being quite feisty, and Austria are going to have to battle as well if they're going to pick up the points, which they really do need to qualify from that group.
If ever there's going to be a team that catches the eye of Mark O'Hare, it is some butchers who'll rack up the cards. So North Macedonia have done the trick for him there. At 8, it's the Netherlands against Ukraine in Amsterdam. I find the Dutch really interesting, Jason, because they're 1.7 to win this game. Ukraine, they're 6.6. But I don't see a huge gap between the teams. Obviously, the Netherlands have some great players. Memphis, they have Matthijs de Ligt, although he's not 100% fit. Frenkie de Jong has had a decent season for Barcelona. Where are they at, the Netherlands? Are they comfortably the best team in this group?
Great question. I'd have them a lot closer, Ukraine and Netherlands, than the prices suggest. If we look at Netherlands, say in the last 12 to 18 months, the group they came out of with Northern Ireland, Germany, like all they had to do really to qualify was avoid defeat against Northern Ireland. But they were a goal down with 15 minutes to go at home. Actually 1-3-1 in the end. And like it was 0-0 away in Belfast. Northern Ireland missed the penalty. Then they lose at home to Germany and they beat Germany away. But we know this Germany side probably isn't as great as previous versions. So I've no real confidence in the Netherlands. Obviously, the tournament postponement has affected them more so than anyone. Van Dijk, obviously, the major absentee. Losing Koeman and having Frank de Boer come in. The one positive I'd say about Frank de Boer, he's the only manager to win 4 successive Dutch titles, and that was his early managerial success with Ajax, but that's gone out the window since. It's well documented the troubles he's had.
Spectacularly so.
Yeah. So maybe there might be some additional home advantage to him being familiar in that stadium, but for the first group games in particular, I think home advantage should be less. People should bear this in mind because the travel factor isn't there. travel factor becomes hugely significant once these first round of games are out of the way, and that's where you will find edges and advantage. But teams should be clever. Like, you should be travelling a day or two earlier than you would get the opportunity to do once these games kick off. So Ukraine should be well fresh, well set up, well prepared to give this game an absolute lash. And I'm really sweet on Ukraine. So for me, I'd be happy to back Ukraine at that 6.6 to win this match. And there's actually 5-1 out there for them to win the group as well. I think they've a great opportunity to get off to a winning result here, and that'll be a great bet if they do. And ideally, we'll see a draw in the other game with Austria and North Macedonia, which really would put Ukraine in the driving seat. I've a lot of positive things to say about Ukraine, but why I'm so strong on it in this group in particular is I think the Netherlands are taking up just too much of all those group markets and of this match odds market.
So really interesting stuff from Jason on Ukraine. Mark, would you go along with that? Do you think Ukraine have a chance of causing a real upset here in the opening group game between the two of them?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I really like them. Probably a little bit more cautious than Jason, but I still think they've got a fantastic opportunity because the Netherlands team is run by Frank de Boer, which is a massive negative to the Dutch, unfortunately, because for whatever he did at Ajax, he's kind of unravelled himself in his previous roles. And, you know, I just can't work him out really at the moment. He's got Ruud Weghorst starting at central striker in the warm-up friendlies, but wasn't even in the squad in March. He's naming players as a potential to come off the bench and cause an impact who aren't even in the squad. The guy doesn't really seem to know what he's doing at the moment. And all I would say is, you know, if he does start Weghorst and Depay slightly more withdrawn in a creative role, then that's a good thing. Obviously, Holland will get better players on the field. And individually, they are probably a better team than Ukraine, but collectively, under his charge, I do worry about them. But they are scoring goals. They've scored twice more in the last seven games. They have been seen a bit of a shift since being quite pragmatic in his early days and kind of created a lot of frustration from supporters with his pragmatic tactics. But since then, they've been a bit more adventurous and played more attractive football. But it's come at a cost as well, not just Van Dijk's injury, but they've only kept three clean sheets in the last nine games. And they came against Gibraltar, Georgia and Latvia. So there are issues there, and I think Ukraine can expose them. They've scored in 18 of the last 20 games. Shevchenko's really sort of cultivated a fantastic squad spirit over 5 years. They've got a really nice balanced midfield capability in forward areas. The only issue for me about Ukraine is potentially centre-half and defence, but I think Shevchenko is wise enough to recognise those issues, and they play a little bit more defensively in probably a major tournament than they have done in some of those games. So, I think this will be quite an interesting game. I don't think it's going to be quite as cagey and attritional as some of the other openers, so I wouldn't be too put off by looking towards the goals markets, which I think are slightly underrated. BTTS is 2.25, but I thought this was quite interesting. Ukraine +2 handicap and over 1.5 goals is the same price, 2.25. So effectively, even if Holland win the game 2-0, 2-1, we're still getting, sorry, not 2-0, but 2-1, you're still getting a payout. So you're almost getting two of those angles on side, Ukraine and goals. So that's the kind of one that stood out. But if you're wanting something a bit more sort of pure, I thought Ukraine +3/4 on the Asian handicap at 2.05, and the exchange was very nice indeed. You get half stakes back if Holland win by exactly one goal.
Now, we'll be coming up with an acca in every show from the three matches, a Euro 2020 version of the podcast treble. Each of us will have a selection, and lovely traders like Jason will give us a boosted treble. Mark, what have you got for us?
I talked about North Macedonia's chances of causing Austria a few problems, so I'll just back them to score a goal. I think they can breach that Austrian backline, who are going to have to come out and play a bit more attacking if they're going to get a point, or more than a point, I should say. So yeah, North Macedonia to score.
I'm going to go for Harry Kane to score for England against Croatia. Jason, what have you got for us?
Yeah, but I'm very sweet on the Ukraine, obviously, as just discussed, and I'm putting all my eggs in their basket. Have a look at them in the outright. I think they're a cracking bet. They've benefited the most from the postponement to the tournament. They got some heavy defeats against France and Spain last year, but tactically, Shevchenko has figured that out. He went 4-1-4-1 against France in the qualifiers and got a draw just in March. So he's going to go with similar against the Dutch. And therefore, if they don't win the game, fully expect them to avoid defeat. That's 6-5 at the moment. So Ukraine or the draw in the double chance market. It's a nice price to go in the treble. But if you're feeling a bit braver as a single, I think Ukraine to win the matches is also a good bet. But very much on the Shevchenko train for this tournament.
Well, that's all we have time for on our Euro 2020 Day 3 preview. Please remember to gamble responsibly. Leave us a nice review with your usual podcast provider and subscribe if you haven't already. From Mark, from Jason, and from me, it's goodbye for now.